Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
Some attention today to a new book that deals with nine lies, half-truths, and outrageous misconceptions about the most revolutionary person who ever lived. The book is called, of course, Jesus Christ, and he's the main focus. The authors of the book, Peter Brookshaw and Stephen Court, well, this is the second book they've written in a series that looks at the person of Jesus Christ. Who was he, and who does the world say he is? Well, it's our privilege today to be talking to author and Salvation Army officer Peter Brookshaw. The book's called Jesus Christ, Nine Lies, Half-Truths, and Outrageous Misconceptions About the Most Revolutionary Person Who's Ever Lived. Peter, welcome along to 2020.
Thanks for having us, Neil.
Peter, you better start with a little bit of inspiration here, because undoubtedly you've been in a few arguments over the years, and these things have made it into your book.
Well, it's interesting, yeah, because we live in a kind of culture that there's lots of different ideas about who Jesus is, and for me, I was thinking really about a quote from C.S. Lewis some years ago, of course, around the who Jesus is. And C.S. Lewis talks about Jesus Christ wasn't just a nice man. He wasn't just a nice moral philosopher. Because he walked the earth, you know, saying things like, I'm the bread of life, or I'm the resurrection and the life. And for those who may not know, in the Old Testament, you had Moses was confronted by God at the burning bush, right? And Moses had said, if I go back to Egypt to lead the Israelites out of slavery, whom shall I say is sending me? Right, and God says from the burning bush, say that I am is sending you, the great I am. You know, so Jesus walks the earth saying, I am the bread of life, right? I am the resurrection and the life. So Jesus was practically saying, I am sent from God. Okay, so C.S. Lewis says that either that is true, or he's a liar, or he's a lunatic. There's no in between for Jesus. And so we kind of pick up this story, Neil, about Jesus wasn't just a nice man. He was either Lord or he was a liar, but he wasn't anything in between.
And Peter, this is a sequel to your first book. Your first book was called Holy, and in some sense here you're dealing with the same sorts of half-truths and lies and misconceptions.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it, for us, it's just a creative way to stimulate people's thinking about, first of all, holiness, second of all, the person of Jesus Christ. And because there's lots of misconceptions about Jesus. You only have to look at social media nowadays and say we grab a topic like religious education in schools, for instance, and someone will get on social media and say, oh, Jesus Christ is just a fairy tale. And but you can talk to an atheist historian who would know that Jesus Christ of Nazareth walked the earth, right? So Jesus Christ wasn't just a fairy tale. He actually walked the earth. The question is not so much did he exist, but who was he? And if he was Lord, and if he was who he says he is, then what's our response going to be to him? So we kind of pick up those ideas of misconceptions and lies and half-truths about the nature of Jesus. And so we just really believe that's going to help encourage people and inspire people as they have a read of it.
Well, let's just pause for a moment and talk through this issue. When people say, as you say, it's quite a regular thing, people will just, as a throwaway line on social media, say, they'll say, oh, Jesus Christ, just a fairy tale. What's your response to that whole idea that you can actually prove that he was not just a fairy tale?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's definitely enough proof out there to say he walked the earth. The question is, you know, validating what he said and whether that's true. And I guess when you look at the experience of what the transformation that people have experienced in Jesus Christ over the years is enough in and of itself, in my mind, to, you know, be an encouragement for people. That is, you know, you look at say my life, for instance, of what Jesus has done in my life to transform it. That kind of testimony is, for me, enough in itself. But for others, we might talk about in one of the chapters, for instance, around the probability of all the predictions in the Old Testament actually finding their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And if you, I don't know if there's any people who are into mathematics who are listening, but the probability of different things, like he's going to be born in Bethlehem, he's going to ride on a donkey into Jerusalem, all of these things coming true, and the probability of that scientifically is, you know, it's irrational unless there's truth in those promises. So, you know, there's lots of discussions to go down with people. One might be about, like I said, the experience that God has done in people's lives, or it might be a scientific, you know, scientific, rational conversation with someone.
Okay, so you've got lies, you're confronting those, saying Jesus is not just a fairy tale. In fact, history would say that's the case. And as you say, the mathematical probability with all of those prophecies coming to pass. And then, just as you say, and very importantly, I think, that there is validation for who Jesus is simply by putting his words into the actions of our lives, because you can validate his reality simply by being obedient to his ways. That's a very, very powerful truth that you're unveiling there.
Absolutely. And it reminds me of that scripture, Neil, about people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. And so when people see, you know, you loving other people and see you living out the very words that Jesus says, then, you know, that establishes credibility in the hearts and minds of people across our community. I think when we look at the church historically over the last 2,000 years, there's times there where we haven't represented Jesus well, but there are other times where people have lived out what he said we should live out, love one another and care for one another, and be his disciples in the world. And when we do that well, people see Jesus in us. And I believe they're inspired to follow him because of our actions and how we live that out.
Peter, what about half-truths? I know you do deal with, in your book, the challenges of understanding the difficulties in making a assessment of Jesus being fully divine and fully human. How do you address that in your book?
Well, it's an interesting one, Neil, because for us it's trying to create a book that takes, you know, deep theological ideas and complex ideas and try to make them simple for people. The difficulty of that is trying to understand it first before we are able to communicate it. And one of the things for us is when we look at it, we see people that say that Jesus was divine, and you hear people say that Jesus was a really nice man, but he was both. And that's a kind of an idea that theologians have come up with over the years, that Jesus wasn't just a human that walked the earth, because he was fully divine. You know, he rose again on the third day. But we can take really encouragement from the fact that he was both fully human and fully divine. See, we can take encouragement from it. He was fully human. That is, he experienced pain. He experienced grief and loss. He cried when he found out Lazarus was in the grave, and he experienced hunger when he was in the desert for 40 days without any food. And, you know, he experienced those things, so we can take encouragement from that. But we can also take encouragement from the fact that, you know, we don't need to continue to live in our sin. We don't need to continue to live in a way that doesn't have any kind of redemptive lift to it. We can live in the power of Jesus, you know, the fact that he rose again. So I think it's an encouragement when we take both the fact that he was fully human and fully divine, and then begin to live that out ourselves.
And when you clear up these misconceptions, Peter, you come down to the fact that Jesus Christ was in fact a revolutionary who transformed the world. Interesting terminology when you use the word revolutionary, because revolution, not in the way that we've seen dictators, authoritarians of the past, but his revolution was something different.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, you could call it a revolution of love, I guess. And we talk about Jesus came and ushered in the kingdom of God. And whereas, you know, over the years there's been a lot of laws and a lot of routine about how we go about our faith, a lot of religious doctrines and things. We still have those doctrines, but Jesus came and said, love God and love others. Quite revolutionary in the day, really. You know, you look at even cultures today in our churches where we just, as we get older in our churches, sometimes we become a bit more legalistic and we put more rules and regulations around things. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have those, but Jesus was quite revolutionary in the day amongst the Jewish people to say, actually, what you need to do is love God and love others. Very, very much kind of turn things upside down. We're continually challenged, I believe, by the words of Jesus to say, well, how does that apply for us now? How do we keep our faith simple to love God and love others? And how do we live that out in today's society?
And Peter, you say that your book is not just one for the bookshelf, but this is a pocket-sized book to read and share. You've designed it to be a practical book. So how would someone use your book if they were looking to enter into a conversation about some of these issues?
Well, maybe, Neil, we could put a Gideon Bible in one pocket and put my book in the other. I think there's a real opportunity there to just grab a hold of kind of theological ideas that we need to kind of thrash out and think about. I think for us, we didn't want to create a book that just sat on a library in a Christian theological seminary, you know, a place there that where it sits on the book and it's got number 301 or whatever the number is. We wanted a book that people would grab a hold of and begin to interact with, you know, the person of Jesus Christ, ultimately. And so we just wanted to create a book that would inspire people and challenge them about who they think Jesus is. And I think this little pocket-sized book is an opportunity for people just to grab a hold of some of those ideas about Jesus and begin to implement them in their lives.
So a great pocket-sized resource. The book is called Jesus Christ, 9 Lies, Half-Truths, and Outrageous Misconceptions About the Most Revolutionary Person Who Has Ever Lived. The author is Peter Brookshaw. He and his friend Stephen Court have authored this book. It's the second one in the series. The first one was called Holy. This one is called Jesus Christ. And you can get a hold of it at Vision Store. So vision.org.au. It is on sale in the Vision Store. You can also find out some more online about the author, petebrookshaw.com. That's petebrookshaw.com. Pete, thanks so much for taking some time to share your thoughts with listeners today on 2020.
Thanks for having us, Neil.
Before you go, thanks for listening.
There's lots more great audio on demand, or you can listen to us live at visionradio.org.au.
And remember, Vision is listener supported. Your donation,
large or small,
will help us continue connecting faith to life for hundreds of thousands of people across Australia and around the world.
Learn more or donate today at visionradio.org.au.